among the things that I believe is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word gospel in the Greek means good news, and it pertains to the good news of salvation that you and I receive through Jesus Christ. And it involves the proclamation of God's grace that's offered through Jesus. Now, as a disciple of Jesus, I firmly believe in the gospel. And in this study, we're going to review why the gospel is so important and then try to summarize the particulars of the gospel. So, why is the gospel so important? Well, it's something that Jesus wanted everyone to hear. It's that important. He wanted everyone in the world to hear his gospel. In Mark's account of the Great Commission, Mark 16, beginning in verse 15, he said to them, to his disciples, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." It must therefore be very important to Christ. And if it's so important to him, it must be important to everyone who believes in him. Another reason it's important is because it has the power to give salvation to everyone who believes it. Paul described the gospel as God's power unto salvation. He says in Romans 1 in verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Now in this gospel is revealed God's righteousness. It's what Paul says in verse 17 of Romans 1, the very next verse. He says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Paul says he's not ashamed of the gospel and he's ready to preach it anywhere. That's what he stated in Romans 1 in verse 15, but also in Romans 15 and verse 19. Now let me ask you, if Paul had such convictions regarding the gospel of Jesus Christ, shouldn't we? Another reason that is so important is that there is condemnation for those who do not obey. Peter raised the question of what of those who do not obey the gospel. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 17, he says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" And Paul revealed the answer when he says that there is vengeance and eternal destruction from God. He wrote to the Thessalonians in his second letter, in chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These things shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. If the consequence of not believing the gospel is so serious, how can we not believe?" Maybe it's because of what it means to Jesus and his apostles, what it means to us who believe, and what it will mean for those who do not obey. I believe in the gospel. But what exactly is this good news? Well, the particulars of the gospel are facts contained in it to be believed. That Christ was crucified for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 3. And in the Old Testament, Isaiah writes in chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted." Excuse me, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, for our peace, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." But then Christ was raised from the dead after being crucified. Paul, again, would write about this in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4. And Peter spoke of it in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost in his sermon. He said, "This Jesus God has raised up, of whom we are all witnesses." Excuse me, "This Christ is exalted as both Lord and Savior," he would say in verse 33. But Paul would write in Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 20, "When he worked in Christ, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." And what we need to understand also in these facts that are to be believed is that he is coming again. The next time that he comes is going to be to judge the world. Luke would write in Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And again, Paul speaks to this in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. What we need to note here is that destruction comes to those who do not obey the gospel. The gospel, therefore, contains more than just simply facts to be believed. Paul would go on in 2 Thessalonians 1 and in verse 8, say that in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another particular of the gospel is that it includes commands that we are to obey. We must believe the gospel concerning Jesus. Mark 16, we've already noticed, in verse 16, and Romans 1 and verse 16. But we are to confess our faith in Jesus Christ. Paul states in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And again, this is spoken of in Acts 8 and verse 37. "But we're also to repent of our sins, to turn from them." Luke 24, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 17, as we just noticed a moment ago in verses 30 and 31. Excuse me. "And then we must be baptized for the remission of sins." Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Acts 2 and verse 38, and the conversion of Saul there, according to his own words, in Acts 22 and verse 16. But that's not the end of it. We have to remain faithful, even to the point of death. We read of that in Revelation 2 and verse 10, but the Hebrew writer talks about it in chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14, he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in preparing for the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. For those who obey the gospel, Jesus becomes the author of eternal life for them." Again, the Hebrew writer would tell us in chapter 5 and verse 9 that having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation, notice, to all who obey him. The author of eternal salvation, eternal life, but it's only to those who will obey him. Now, the question needs to be asked, are we obeying him? Or are we following the teachings of man? But then there's another thing, that this gospel offers promises to be received. The remission of our sins, to have them blotted out, to be done away with, to be washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Peter told those who asked him in Acts chapter 2, what they must do to be saved. Acts 2 and verse 38. And Paul would allude to that in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. But then we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is to empower the Christian, the child of God, to have the word of life, to have eternal salvation. Acts 2 and verse 38 and verse 39, Romans 15 and verse 13, Ephesians 3 and verse 16. The gift of everlasting life is another promise that we receive, and that's to be received at the end when Christ comes back as the great judge. We see that in John 3:16 and Romans 6, verses 22 and 23. This is why the gospel of Christ truly is good news. Now, we have seen that the gospel of Christ is good news, and that Jesus wanted everyone to hear it. We've seen that it is the power of God of salvation to everyone who believes, and its condemnation for those who are not willing to obey it. We have saw where the gospel of Christ contains facts, commands, and promises. The facts to believe contains the message of God's love and grace. The commands to obey are not difficult works done to earn salvation, but simple acts of where faith, through faith, we can receive God's grace and mercy. And the promises to receive help us deal with the problem of sin in our lives. So here's an important question. Do you believe in the gospel of Christ? It's easy to say, yes, I do. But do you believe it enough to obey it? Like I said, not obey some man's doctrine, creed, or whatever, but to obey the gospel of Christ and the gospel of Christ alone. And in doing so, ensure your salvation for your soul. Do you believe it enough that you want to tell others about it? I pray that we'll all have the same attitude as Paul did in regarding the gospel of Christ, where he wrote in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You see, the gospel is for all. It is freely given for everyone, to everyone, and all we have to do is just simply believe it and obey it. Again, the question is, do you believe and obey the simple commands of Jesus' gospel, or do you make it difficult and add man's twist to it? And what I mean by that is man's doctrines, man's creeds, man's thoughts, man's commandments. You see, those things will not get you to heaven. What will get us to heaven is simply obeying the words of Christ. You may be listening to this and find yourself in opposition to what I'm saying. If you would like to study further with me, I would be more than happy to sit down with you. If you would like to join us at the Eastside congregation this morning, we'll meet at 9 a.m. for Bible study, and that'll be followed by morning worship, and then we'll have an evening worship at 5 p.m. But if you'd like to listen to this lesson again, you can go to our website, that's churchateastside.com, and you'll find the menu there across the top, and look at sermons, and this will be posted there. While you're there, you can look at other sermons, past lessons from the radio program, you can read articles, you can see more about who we are at the Church at Eastside. Again, thank you for being with me. Like I said, if you have any questions, I will be more than willing to sit down with anyone. But just bring your Bible and show me in the Bible where you disagree, and give me book, chapter, and verse. Thank you very much.